We're going to continue the little book of 1 Peter. We'll probably be quoting some other scriptures as we go through this, as the Lord leads. We started this a couple of weeks ago, and so we got through, I think, the first couple of verses, but we're going to read those again and just sort of go from there. The Apostle, this is from Peter, and it's from the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter was moved by the Holy Spirit to write. I'm thankful that all of the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is written not just to Peter, but as results of holy men of God and men that knew all of the scriptures, put them all together in this book and made this become a part of the Bible and a word of God to each and every one of us, not just to Peter, but anyone who can read the word of God from Genesis to Revelations. It's all written so that we might have and understand what God is doing in this world and who He is and what He's done and what He's done for us and what He wants to do for us if we'll just trust Him and depend on Him and allow Him to take charge of our lives and be the Lord that He's supposed to be as we confess Him as Lord and Savior of our lives. That's how important every book, not just Peter, but all of the books in the Bible, that's how important this is. I had someone the other day that I was talking to that I'd overheard a conversation, and I was talking about some things and about eating and drinking and what to eat and what to drink. And I told him, I said, well, if you read Genesis, it'll tell you what to eat and what not to eat and what to drink and what not to drink. And that's the only thing we should be listening to. Amen. To the pilgrims of the dispersion. So I've talked about this for just a moment last time. And pilgrims means those of us that are on a journey. We're just passing through. Here we have, as most people know, most Christians know, here we don't have a continuing city. We know that someday that we'll pass away. And as Jesus said, He went to prepare a place for us. Amen. So that's why the Bible calls us pilgrims. We're on a journey. And this life is it. I don't know when it's going to end, but I do know it will end. Amen. One way or another. And I hope it ends whenever He comes and takes us as Christians out of this place, because He said He went to prepare a place for us. And our citizenship, the place that we belong, is not here. We've been born again by the Spirit of God, and our home is over there. And we're going home. When we go home, when the spirit departs from the body, what you see at any funeral is where that person used to live, but he's no longer there. His spirit, his being, his spirit has left and gone to be with God. Amen. And this is just like we live in a house and look out two windows or windows, and we can see things and we have a knowledge and an understanding that we are inside of something and we're looking out. So it is with Christians in this body. We realize that this is just our temporary place. This is where we are right now. We're looking out these two windows we call eyes. But we know this is not us. We're just living here. And this is provided for us so people can see us. And we can see them and we can know one another. Amen. As best we can know one another. Some of us get married and stay married for 15 or 20 years. We didn't realize so much about the person that we married. Amen. We get to know one another as we go through life. And hopefully we forgive and love one another and maintain our commitment. Praise God. So we're just pilgrims here. We're just passing through. And were the pilgrims of the dispersion, that means those particularly that had been, that were Jews, that were scattered throughout all the nations of the world. And God said he was going to scatter them, and they would be all over the nations of the world. But in the last days, he would be bringing them back and reestablishing them in their homes and in their nation. That didn't happen until 1948. That's when the nation Israel became a nation again. And they came back because they were being persecuted in Germany and Italy and France and all over. They were coming from all over the world. And they didn't have any place to go except back to Israel. And that's where they came. And there's been a war ever since between them and the Egyptians and those that lived there. So if you were around in 1948, you saw something that God did that he promised he would do 4,000 years ago. He did it in our day and time. Isn't that wonderful? So, like they that were being dispersed, word pilgrims that have been dispersed all over the world. In Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, I'm reading from verse 1, Asia, Bithynia, United States. No, that's not there. USA, that's not there. But that's where we are. And then he called us elect. Amen? How many, and I spent some time on that. I'm not going to spend more time on it, but for the benefit of some of you that weren't here, I want you to know that if you're a Christian, you've been born again, and the Spirit of God has dealt with you, you are one of the elect people of God if you've been born again. You are one of his elect. That means he has elected you and chosen you. And that's why he sent his only begotten Son, so that he could elect us, and that Jesus bore, and the reason he can elect us and birth us into his family is because Jesus, God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. As a matter of fact, I have 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. The Lord told me to read this morning, so I'll just read it right now. 1 John 5, 10. That's a little book of John back towards the last part of the Bible, next to Revelations. 1 John 5, 10. He that believeth on the Son of God, that person that believes and has put his trust in God's Son, the Lord Jesus, as this witness or the witness in himself. So all of us who have been born again by the Spirit of God, we have the witness of the Holy Spirit in us that lets us know. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God gave of his Son. Verse 11. 1 John 5, verse 11, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, all of us who are the elect. Amen? If you've been born again, if you sense the Spirit of God and have responded to His Holy Spirit and confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're one of His elect. Amen? And God has given to you eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Amen? Verse 12. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. So I want you to know that your body, it tells us in other different places, 1 Corinthians, for example, your body, if you're a Christian, if you're one of the elect and you've made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit has borne witness with you and convicted you, and you've come and made, wherever you may have been, confessed Jesus Christ as Lord with all your heart, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you're one of God's elect. And But you're one of God's elect because His Son is in you. Your body has become the habitation of God. Our bodies, believers, those of us who are elect, when we make that choice, the Holy Spirit takes us and places us into the body of Christ, and He places Christ in us, and we become born again by the Spirit of God. Amen. And we are now one of God's elect. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So he that has the Son has life, and I'm reading from 1 John 5, verse 12. He has the Son of God has not life. He has not the Son of God has not life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you. How many yous do we have here this morning? That believeth in the name of the Son of God. You put your trust in the Son of God. That you may, everybody say this word, know. There's not hope so, maybe so, I think so, it's a no so. Are you with me? That's what the Bible says. That you may know. What do you know? That you have eternal life. Amen? Eternal life means never ending, doesn't it? Amen? When do you have that eternal life? That you may know right now that you have eternal life. Amen? And also that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. St. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. I wanted to read that to you too. And John was finishing his book as he was finishing his Gospel of John. This is the Gospel of St. John. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So there was a lot of things, many things that Jesus did that were not written in the book, especially John's books, he's saying. But these things, verse 31, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Savior. He's the God's Son. He's the Lord, the Son of God. He's the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, and that believing, when you put your trust in Him, that's what believing means. It doesn't mean I believe, I hope so, I think so, maybe so. It means I believe, I put my trust in that, and that when you do that, you might have life through His name. Amen? We have life through His name. You have life, if you're a Christian, through His name, through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has made that possible. And there is no other name, the Bible tells us, there's no other name other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ whereby you must be saved. There's no religion, no doctrine, no anything else, no church. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have eternal life. In John chapter 21, verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. St. John chapter 21, verse 25. The which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen? That's our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen? And so, we are, verse 2, we are elect. And that's according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father. Amen? God has acknowledged that, and it's His foreknowledge. Not that His foreknowledge has anything to do with your salvation other than He, through His foreknowledge, made a way through His precious Son for us to be saved. Foreknowledge doesn't mean, as I've heard someone say, one of the first things that I did when I was a Christian, saved and surrendered to the ministry, I was out witnessing and I run into a man that told me that those that are going to be saved are saved because God has chosen them to be saved, and that's the only way they can be saved. And if you're not chosen, you can't be saved. So I haven't been chosen. That's what the man said. And I felt sorry for him. And I didn't really know back then what to say to him. I didn't know how to answer him. I do now, because I've been around for a while. Amen? And the fact is that God's choosing is telling us, I have chose you through the only way and the only name, and that is through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who He bore your sins and took His sins in His body and died in your place, amen, and was resurrected in our place, us, we believers, so that we might have eternal life now. Not when we die, we have it now. Amen? And that's by faith, as the Bible says. So, we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God, and the foreknowledge of God doesn't mean that He had anything to do with the fact, because God says in His Word, and He tells us this, that He's not willing that any, God's will is not, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Have you read that in the Bible? It's there. So Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Now that doesn't mean all of the whole world has been saved. It only means that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, but those of us who receive His truth and believe in His Son and put our trust in Him, we're the ones that become His elect and have been born again by the Spirit of God. Amen? Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Y'all with me this morning? I think this is pretty good. I'm getting a blessing out of it myself. Amen? I never know what exactly I'm going to say when I get up here. The Lord just says, here's what I want you to, these scriptures. So I do what He tells me. So we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Does God know who's going to be saved and who's not? Yes. But it does not in any way interfere with their decision. God calls everybody. He sees to you through the preaching of the Word and the truth of the gospel, which has gone all over the world, that they may hear and understand that Jesus died for their sins. Amen. Now, in sanctification, let's go back. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. In sanctification of the Spirit, okay, let's spend a little bit of time. What does sanctification mean? If I were to ask you right now, I don't think I'd have many hands, but I may have more than I think. How many of you are sanctified? Everybody that's a Christian ought to have your hands raised, because sanctification means this one thing. If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and confessed Him as Lord and Savior in your mouth, and you've been saved, you're not only one of the elect, but you're sanctified. And the sanctification and the redemption comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that sanctifies us. And what does that word mean? It means you've been set apart for the service of God. Sanctification means you have been set apart for the service of God. That's sanctified. So whether you know it or not, or believe it or not, you should believe it, you've been set apart. And when God saved you, He set you apart for Himself. Amen? We belong to Him. Amen? And we're set apart for Him. He's a jealous, didn't He tell you? He's a jealous God? Amen. He's jealous over us. If we get off and go different places away from Him, He's jealous. He starts dealing with us by through conviction and trying to bring us back and get us back into fellowship with Him. And if we go too far, He'll pick us up and paddle us. Thank God. Because we belong to Him. He loves us. He doesn't want us to be out there. He wants us to be here with Him. Amen? And He's a jealous God. Amen? So remember who you are. You're sanctified. You're set apart for the service of God and for the purpose of God. That doesn't mean, it could mean that you, God wants you to be a missionary or a minister or an evangelist or a pastor or a preacher or something. But you are already a witness. You say, well, how am I a witness? You've been saved, haven't you? Well, everybody that meets you ought to know, especially if they're non-Christians. And in fact, working in the world, I've always worked and ministered. It's only been in the last few years that I've been a full-time pastor. I've worked for Berry Contracting, Goben Contracting, construction companies, engineering firms. Worked for the Naval Air Station as a independent contractor construction for a couple of years, doing all the inspection for them. I was an inspector, had my own company as an inspector, inspected, went all over Buffalo, New York, Scranton, Pennsylvania, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I went everywhere inspecting vessels and pipe and all kinds of stuff. And I still pastored, but everywhere I went, everybody knew I was different. I wasn't the same. And I think I had somebody say once sometime, "What's the matter with you? What's wrong with you?" "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, you're not like everybody else." Right? I said, "Well, maybe I'm not." "Well, why?" "Maybe it's because I'm a Christian. I belong to God." Amen? So you're a witness whether you like it or not. Because you're a Christian, and you've been set apart for God, and you've been sanctified. I mean, that's what that means. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm having a good time with this. Amen? Praise God. In sanctification of the Spirit, so it's the Holy Spirit. It's not us who sanctifies ourselves and sets ourselves apart. It's God through His Holy Spirit, when we're born again, sets us apart. Now, we have to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. As a Christian, we can get in the flesh. How many of you Christians have gotten in the flesh? Come on now, but let's be honest with one another. I've gotten in the flesh several times, especially when somebody made me mad. That's the easiest time to get in the flesh, I think. Amen? And killed anybody, by the way. But in my heart, I have. You with me? If I hadn't been not put in jail, I probably would have killed him. Amen? So God looks on the heart. Amen. Are you with me this morning? So it's the Holy Spirit that sanctifies us and sets us apart for obedience. Now, I don't know too many people, including little children, that don't like the word obedience. "You better obey me, boy, or I'll put you in a closet and shut the door on you." Or whatever. Maybe more, yeah. So, the sanctification and being set apart for God by the Spirit of God doesn't mean that we're on our own. It means that God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, will give us the ability and help us, strengthen us and encourage us, and speak to us through His Word and through our spirits to help us so that we can be obedient to Him. Amen? And do what He wants us to. Because we've been set apart for Him. We belong to Him. For obedience. And sprinkling. Sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ in our spirits. Amen? It's the blood. Amen. And this has been the truth and the story of the whole Bible from the beginning of time. When Adam and Eve sinned and broke God's commandment, what did God do to forgive them? He killed an animal, spilt its blood, So from the very beginning of time, God was saying, it's going to take the Lamb of God to cleanse you from all of your sins. And it's His blood that sprinkles us and sets us free and brings us into the kingdom of God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And the Holy Spirit is the one that sprinkles the blood. Amen. When the enemy comes to accuse me because I've done something wrong, and I've done something against God, and then he comes and starts trying to accuse me in my mind, here's one of the things you can tell him, the reason I'm telling you this. You're talking about a dead man. Get away from me. You're talking about a dead man. What do you mean? I mean, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm covered with the blood. You're talking about a dead man. Get away from me. You can't kill me. I'm already dead. I was crucified with Christ. Amen? Are y'all with me? Praise God. We got to, you know, the enemy comes, and one of the first things that he does is try to get us to doubt that we're saved. And why would somebody try to get you to doubt if you're saved if you're not saved? Hey, are y'all with me? Only a saved person can doubt they're saved, as far as I know. And it be the devil be bothering them with that. Wow. So we have to, what does the James 4:7 say? I think it's James 4:7, the little book of James. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do we resist the devil? Well, if you'll read Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4, you'll see the same way Jesus did. Well, how did Jesus? Well, go read over there and you'll find out. Satan used the word of God against Jesus. If thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down. Jesus said, it's also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. He used the scripture. Satan is trying to get him to doubt who he was. You're not the Son of God. Satan said, well, if you be the Son of God, prove it. Turn these stones into bread. Jesus said, man shall, he used the word of God. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He answered him with the scriptures. That's the reason we need to get in the scriptures and memorize the scriptures. Because the scriptures give us a shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen? And the shield of faith can quench all of the fiery darts of the evil one, that those thoughts that come to our minds. Are you with me? And the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And fight him off. Just like Jesus did. And that's where we do spiritual warfare. Amen? Wow. I was just a young, I may have shared this before, but oh my goodness, I get to going here and I don't know when to stop. One of the first things that I learned was the enemy tried to tell me this book was not the Word of God, because it has contradictions. And he showed me some contradictions. And I think I shared that with you before. And they are not contradictions, but they are apparent contradictions. One of them in Proverbs says, answer not a man according to his folly. And right under it, the same next verse is, answer a man according to his folly. That's a direct contradiction. Amen? So what do we do? Well, We follow the leadership and the direction of the Holy Spirit, and we do what He tells us to do. And sometimes He wants us to answer a man according to his folly, and other times He just don't leave that stupid idiot alone. Amen? Excuse the colloquialism. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's go. We're still at on verse 2. I don't know if I'll ever get through this at this rate. Maybe sometime a couple of years from now we'll get through Peter. Amen. The sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, grace, that's God's unearned. Listen, what grace is. That's not a woman's name. Well, it can be. I've run into some graces, haven't you? But this is talking about the grace of God. So what is the grace of God? It's God's undeserved, unearned love. Undeserved, unearned. Can't do anything to get it. It's just God's love. That's grace. And He says, He says so many things. I'll just quote this verse. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Grow. We have to. I loved the Lord when I was first saved. But now the more I've gotten to know Him, the more I love Him. Amen. Because he's been revealing Himself to me, and what He's revealing to me is his love, and how awesome His love is, and how forgiving, and how faithful, and how merciful He is. Amen. That's grace. God's unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor. He's given it to you, like I like to say. God's grace has been manifested to every person in the world, whether they like it or not, or know it or not. We need to let them know. One of the most horrible things you can say to some person is God loves you, especially if they don't love God. All right, verse 3. Blessed be the God, that's our God, and Father, that's our Heavenly Father, but He's also the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was His only begotten Son, born of a virgin, according to the Word of God, who according to His abundant mercy, I mean, it's overflowing, it's beyond our understanding, has begotten us. So we've been born. That word begotten means born. He's birthed us again into a living hope. We have a living hope. Our hope's not a dead hope. You mean you hope in God? Yes, I do. But it's not a dead hope. It's a living hope. It means it's alive. It's working. It's moving in me. And that hope is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and the disciples followed Him after He was raised from the dead. Are you with me? They saw Him. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus arose from the dead and came and appeared. Mary came back and told the disciples, "Hey, I've seen the Lord." And so James and John, I think it was, ran to the tomb and the stone had been rolled away. And who rolled that big thing away? And they looked inside and they didn't see Jesus' body there. So somebody said, then the soldiers were told that were guards, they had been put to sleep. It was a death for a Roman soldier to be asleep on guard duty. You with me? So they were in trouble too. God was good to them as well. Amen? We've seen the Lord. When Jesus And they thought, well, Mary might have seen a vision. She might have had a dream. Who knows what happened to that woman? But then they were all together in the upper room, and then Jesus appeared there in front of them. He just come and appeared in through the wall and appeared, here I am. He said, well, they saw a ghost. That's what Thomas thought when he came, because he wasn't with them. So I want to share this with you. This is so good. It's so good. Thomas said, well, I didn't see him. Jesus appeared. He said, Thomas, look here. See this scar in my side? See these holes in my hands? Come over here, Thomas. Put your hands on this scar. Put your fingers on these nail scars. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Amen. Amen. And they all died, just about every one of them, for him. Telling the people the truth, and preaching the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? I don't think I would die for somebody. Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are you, for your eyes have seen and your hands have handled. Blessed are those who have not seen me. That's us. And believed and put their trust in me. Amen. Takes a lot of faith to do that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. That's what we have. Amen. We have faith. Everybody has faith. Put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is so good, I don't want to come back to verse 4, but I'm going to read it to you. Amen? And then I'm going to close. 2, so those of us who have been resurrected and are the elect of God and have been resurrected through the Lord Jesus Christ, just as He was resurrected again from the dead, spiritually we've been recognized, resurrected and born again through the power of God, we're also have an inheritance incorrupt. That means it's not corruptible. It can't pass away. It can't go away. It's set forever. Forever. It's incorruptible. And undefiled. It cannot be defiled. Cannot be touched by human hands or any hands, and that does not fade away. It doesn't fade away. Amen. It doesn't go away. God said, "I go to prepare a place for it." It doesn't go away. It won't fade away. It's there. Amen. Reserved. It's a reserved place, and it's been reserved for you. How many yous do we have here this morning? Raise your hand. It's been reserved for you. Amen? Can you praise God for that? Amen? All right. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. And I pray that you'll have a wonderful day. God will bless you and strengthen you, encourage you every day in your life. That we'll all do our best to draw close to Him. If we get stumbled up by the evil one and deceived and we haven't been watching and he trips us up and makes us fall, that we'll get up and confess the name of the Lord Jesus and repent of our sins and get back into fellowship and go on and be happy. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Brother Ram, would you dismiss us?